Podcasting 2.0 for December 17th, 2021, episode 66. Drop the Gate. All right. Definitely one of my favorite titles. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. It's the podcast that really is the meeting of the board of Podcasting 2.0. We tell you all about what happened in the past week at podcastindex.org. What's going on with the podcast namespace, and of course, everything happening at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama, the man who has the fastest follows, my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Drop the gate.
Drop the gate.
What gate are we dropping?
Well, the gate we dropped was the one I dropped before we started to get rid of the humming noise on my microphone.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm feeling good. I had a humongous bowl of collard greens. The show's going to be real interesting. I'm in a small room, and with the doors closed.
Only people in the South understand what you're talking about when it comes to that. I think so.
Is collard greens? Is that not outside the South thing?
Oh, possibly. I don't know. I thought it was a South thing.
So I got this recipe. Okay, so I'll give you the recipe.
Oh, please do. Yes, we definitely need more food talk on this show.
It's a Podcasting 2.0 recipe tip.
Ooh.
This collard green recipe is a pound of collard greens.
Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know what collard greens are, you probably have to tell people because not everyone knows.
Well, it's like they're greens. They're like these. It's big. It's like a. It's like if you took kale and scaled it up like a factor of three, that's what a collard green looks like. It's a scaled up kale. But it actually tastes good.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like kale. Tastes like, you know, cardboard drenched in urine. It's horrible. Feet. No, that's actually a good one. Tastes like feet. Yeah. Exactly.
There's different kinds of greens. There's collard greens. Turnip greens, mustard greens. There's various, you know, there's varieties, there's species of collard green, of greens. And so the collards are a little more tender, I think. But you can get them at the store. They're all chopped up but you can get them whole either, you know, a whole also. But you can get them chopped up in a bag. It's like 2 pounds of greens. So you take your greens, stick them in a pressure cooker, like an Instant Pot or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
Then in a skillet or a cast iron skillet, throw a little bit of butter in there and dice up an onion and brown it. And then fry up about 4 pieces of bacon in the same skillet. Then pour in about 2 cups of bone broth. Let that all mix up and get all, you know, all the goodness in there. Dump it in with the collard greens in the pressure cooker, and then pour in a bottle of barbecue sauce. Now
secret ingredient right there.
Yes, it's critical. It has to be a vinegar based barbecue sauce, not a sugar or not a, a tomato based. So a vinegar based barbecue sauce. Throw that in there, and then pressure cook it for about 15 minutes. Ugh, so good.
The more you know, in the morning.
Now, I ate like 3 bowls of them the other night. So, I mean, you may have to carry scissors with you to the bathroom. That's the fair only. That's your only warning.
Yeah, they're good. They do taste good. Oh, man. Well, while you were doing all that, I was out promoting Podcasting 2.0. Hope you enjoyed your cooking.
Hey, I was promoting it. I was on the tour, too. You don't even know what I was on.
No, what show were you doing?
I was interviewed by Chris Fisher from Jupiter Broadcasting, Coda Radio, Linux Action Network.
What's the name of the podcast?
He doesn't know yet. He's going to put it on one of his shows, but he's got like 3 or 4 different shows. He said he may dice it up and sprinkle it around a few different shows.
Ooh, okay. Well, yeah. You may have me beat then. I didn't have any multi-split shows going on.
Yeah, but see, you went straight to the top with the new media show.
Well, first we had Mere Mortals, which was quite interesting. Because I've obviously I've never seen Kyron because I've only listened to the podcast. I didn't even know that he also put this out as a video. And then he's like, "Oh, I'll send you a link." And to be honest, I really prefer doing audio interviews just without seeing the other person. You know, and because I wind
why
up
is that because you said that before. Why do you?
It's just I mean, this is why I love podcasting without video in general. Is first of all, I have to be self conscious of my Tourette's and all kinds of weird shit that and it's just that's just a little more tiring. It's not like it's horrible. Second, as a part of that, when I'm talking, when I'm telling a story, I often have my eyes closed if I'm really into it. On this show all the time, I'm talking with you. I have my eyes closed. It's weird. I'm conscious I'm doing it, but I'm, it's just like I'm locking everything out to focus on what I'm saying. And so then when he published it video, and I didn't have it set up, you know, the way I would for like Megyn Kelly, where I've got it, you know, at the right eye height and I've got the speakers instead of the big cans on my head. No, I don't have makeup, Dave Jones. Thank you very much. I don't need that. I'm just so beautiful. Don't hate me.
Right.
I'm beautiful. Right. So that was just a little bit, I didn't expect that, but I had a great chat with him. He did have some good questions and he's pretty funny.
He's a funny guy. Yeah.
And I love the chapter art. There's me begging for money in my trench coat. Hilarious.
I've not, it's in my queue. I've not even, not even teed it up yet. Cause I saw my new media show came in.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I gotta listen to this. And then my Mere Mortals interview is going to be the, my weekend listen.
Okay. So yeah. It's like 2 hours.
Gotta go.
It's long. Yeah. Oh, it was good. I mean, I really enjoyed it. Kyron's this is a young guy.
He's a really smart dude too. Well read.
Yeah.
Multilingual. I mean, he's a man about town.
Yeah. A little annoying that way. Yeah. Just so fucking smart and young. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was good. It was a lot of it was kind of value for value, the genesis, but also some things about that aren't typically brought up. You know, one of his questions was, so when you're shopping for a castle, what are you looking out for?
Oh, whoa. That's a question I would have never anticipated. What did you say? What was your thumbnail sketch?
The truthful answer was you look for a castle that has a suitable spot to land the helicopter. That is the truth. Back in the day, that was what it was about. Ah, my, how things have changed. But yeah, then I did the new media show, which came on the heels of your outstanding explanation of the number of podcasts at podcastindex.org versus Apple and the validity of the feeds. You know, as I said, that was top notch. Interesting. Since that show, I think more people have been downloading the database to go sift through it because like, oh shit. I mean, really all that shit's in there. And I think we have all kinds of people hitting the API who are also going like, hey, this is a resource. I can get some data from this. Am I correct in that?
I think I've noticed that as well. Yeah. Some new names. Like I can tell when people are signing up for the APIs, you know, and there was a definite uptick this week. Definite.
Yeah.
So somebody's interested in something.
Yeah. And so they wanted me to, I guess, talk about it. It was, you know, Rob said, you know, can you come by Wednesday and we'll talk about podcasting 2.0. Mm-hmm. Now, luckily, you've heard the show. Mm-hmm. Did I go too far? Did I spank too hard? Did I come across as a total douchebag? Because everything I said, I really mean that with love and respect, you know. And it's very hard to tell your friends, like, hey man, I think you should be doing something else. You should be thinking of something else, you know.
I think you can say that. I think you can say those things to, I mean, we all have these relationships where, you know, I can say things to a friend of mine that somebody else couldn't say.
Right.
And I think that was the relationship there where, you have in a sense been in the trenches. I mean, because y'all were talking about Ron Blum and all these things that have happened in the past. And so you've been in the trenches with Todd and Rob for, you know, back in the days when all this stuff was just brand spanking new, mm-hmm. and y'all were trying to each start businesses as well and grow them into something that would work and that kind of thing. So I think, I mean, because y'all have been in the trenches together for so long, from different sides of the industry, I think you can say those kinds of things. And I think they take it at its face. I think they take it at face value as to what it is. Just it's your hunches and your advice, which tend to be correct. Just, you know, look at history, you know, mostly your track record is pretty spot on. So I think they take it well. I didn't hear any, you know, any kind of grumble. Right.
Well, what I was also trying to do was trying to tell them, you know, it's like, hey, other people in your space are pulling ahead of you, and it's fine, but I'd hate to see you just kind of, you know, when something big pops and you've got to scramble, that's going to suck. Because it will happen. This is how it goes in podcasting. I know it. It may be a month. It may be 2 years. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But something's going to pop, and then a wave will come. And, you know, just having an open. My whole mission was to say, geez, guys, I know that you have to make choices, but don't you see that Facebook and Spotify, and they don't care about you? There's a lot of people over here who love you and care about you. So implement some shit.
Yeah, the independent podcasting ecosystem, they're committed and they're people who are loyal. And so those independent podcasters, they stick with, you know, there's always some that jump around from place to place. But in general, I mean, you have, when somebody dedicate or like commits to a host, whether it be Blueberry or, you know, Libsyn or Buzzsprout or RSS.com or any of these guys, typically they stick with those folks for a long time. And we have to remember that. I think it's good to remember this, that a huge portion of the independent podcasting ecosystem are creators who don't care about making money off their podcast.
Yeah. And I reminded that of that as well. It's like, you know, stop with all the growing your show and advertising. Some people just want a podcast.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the lady that that James and Sam interviewed, who got her show on the Virgin
Airlines,
yeah. And Delta. She's like, yeah, she's that is a show with wide reach, and she didn't care about monetizing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, this is a passion project.
Yeah.
And I think there's
but that's also monetization in a, just not in coin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's unique to podcasting, I think, when it comes to media. Now, you may have something similar to that in like a local music scene where you have some bands that are just, you know, they go around and they pretend to play in clubs. They make a little bit of money just to cover expenses, but they just do it because they love it. It's not because they're trying to make a career out of it. That may be the only thing that I could think of that would be slightly comparable to that.
Mm.
But I mean, in general, when it comes to media, podcasting, to have almost 50%, I think the number I saw was like 47% of podcasters, this has been a few months ago, said they don't care anything about monetizing.
Right.
I mean, that, to have almost half your industry paying you every month for your product, but they themselves are not trying to get any money out of it, that's pretty amazing.
So on the heels of that, I got an interesting note from a buddy of mine, Dutch guy, who's one of these guys. He's been at really big companies in very important positions. And I mean, I don't want to mention it, but I can tell you that he's on the board of WeTransfer. And he's actually, he's Dutch. So I know him way, way back. But now he lives in Italy, or I don't know. So I think he's just kind of mucking around. He doesn't have a gig right now, but he's on the board of WeTransfer. And he says, Adam, I'm trying to, for 2 years, been trying to motivate the management here. What can we do to move into it? Now, his words, right? Web3, crypto, and NFT. Okay, so, but I hit him back. I said, well, here's the opportunity. What if, say that, now, I don't know what Web3 is. To me, it's actually the antithesis of centralized services like WeTransfer. But what if we worked with WeTransfer as a storage facility. So they open up an API. Now I'm totally thinking LN, what is it? What was it? We looked at this a long time ago, Dave, where you pay for the API with Satoshis on Lightning.
Oh, LSAT.
LSAT, yeah. So I'm thinking LSAT, and you can hook up anything. Now they could do this with podcasting, but think of an interesting interface for music using the index, or podcasting for that matter, where the payment is per access and not like a flat rate or some other mechanism that brings it more into the value for value chain, or maybe there's just a value split. They seem to be open to talking about all kinds of different stuff. They just want to diversify their services and ultimately their store and forward.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't know. I just had a thought. I was like, oh, maybe CurioCaster might hook into that. I mean, all kinds of fun stuff could happen.
Yeah, it's the first thing I thought of too is CurioCaster, because they, Steven needs a place to store those enclosures.
Right.
And I mean that's.
But also, how about storage of transcripts? All of this stuff. There's all kinds of stuff that they could be diversifying into without really, without ruining their core business, I guess. I don't know. It's just these things are out there, So going back to our, our friends in the hosting business, there's just a lot going on.
Well, that kind of brings the thing back around to what I think we've been saying for a while is that, the storage and stuff is so cheap that it's not a moneymaker to sell bandwidth anymore.
Exactly.
Really. The value of a podcast hosting company comes from the tools that they provide. And to me, really, that's the only value, because you can set up right now. We could, instead of, publishing this show to your CDN, we could go and publish it on on object storage somewhere on AWS or whatever, and then put CloudFront in front of it to cache. And it's not going to be any more expensive than a hosting company. The reason you would use a hosting company is not because you're solving a $1,200 a month bandwidth bill. The reason you use a hosting company is because doing it all yourself in the publishing tools is a pain in the butt.
Right.
And you don't have access to all the features and everything that you, so from your standpoint, what you're telling, Todd and Rob and anybody else in the hosting business that'll listen is that you have to double down on your core, and a large percentage of that core is going to be people who don't care about monetizing. And then also you have to make sure that your value that you're giving to the core, to your audience is what you think it is. So like what I mean is you're not a bandwidth company, you're a tool provider. And so in a feature provider. So if you have to continue to add tools and add features, and I think everybody understands this, but it's going to come to a point where the features that you're adding are going to be stuff that is going to protect your business from competition from walled gardens. And at that point, that's where the podcasting 2.0 stuff comes from.
Yes, and it made me mad because mad is not exactly right, but Todd threw up the, if anyone starts supporting these, I'm like, okay, now you got to stop. There's 10 apps or more supporting these features. You have no excuse anymore. There's just no excuse. Now, if you're going to sit around and wait for Apple, okay.
Yeah, I think that we talked a little bit about that I can't remember if it was on air or off air yesterday when I was talking to Chris Fisher, and I was telling him, he was asking about a couple of specific podcast apps that I won't mention. He's like, are they doing anything with this? Are they doing anything with this? And what I told him is, I'm like, that doesn't bother me. They're going to because that's the roadmap. That has now become the roadmap. Things like transcripts, chapters, sound bites. These things are not just sort of optional things that some apps can do and some apps can't. it's on every, these things are on every app's radar and every app's roadmap. It's just a matter of where they are in the priority list.
Mm-hmm.
But if it takes a year for one app to do it or 3 months for a different app to do it, they're all going to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Because we've paved the road forward. Comments. I mean, you know, as soon as one app puts in kick-ass comments, distributed comments.
Oh, that's going to be game over.
You've got to do, every other app is going to need to support that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just the way that these things go.
Well, so speaking
I'm
of,
not worried about it.
Speaking of such, cross-platform comments. Do you have any idea where we're at? I have no idea. I have no idea.
Podverse.
I see Podverse.
And some arrows.
They got what?
Mitch took some arrows, you know, getting in there and digging in and learning this stuff.
Right, but has he put anything in that we can see that's working?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's on the website.
On the web version? Okay.
Yeah, the web version, yeah. Yeah, right. Podverse and Podfriend both surface these comments. And one thing that's happening that I like a lot is, you know, it's scary to do something like this in your app because, I mean, holy cow, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, you don't just drop this thing in there out of the sky. I mean, you have to, like, it's a big lift. So I was really appreciative that Mitch, like I said, took the arrows and was willing to just risk it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But then, so one thing I'm excited about, though, is John Spurlock has been doing a deep dive into ActivityPub, and he's been documenting everything that he's discovering.
Holy crap. I'm sorry. Holy crap. This looks good.
It's slick, isn't it?
On Podverse, the comments. Yeah. Nobody, we just can't comment back yet. We can't add a comment.
Right. And see, that's the part. That's one of the things that Spurlock is talking about. That's in his documents that he's sort of, I don't know what you call it, journaling as he goes. He's part of it is he's posting back and all this kind of stuff. So I think we're going to see this stuff begin to accelerate over the next, you know, 2-3 months, which would be amazing.
The whole, I haven't really paid much attention to. I know that he's also been working a lot on the UI, and this is really nice. You got drop shadows in there and shit, and holy crap.
It's almost as good looking as one of my things.
Why, yes, you're so right, Dave. Your interfaces are my fave.
Yes, they're beautiful. They're beautiful.
Text link.
Yeah, right. Anchor tag.
Anchor tag. I'm very excited about that. Also, we promised we would talk briefly about Ryan's transcript service that he's been working on. You've been following on the email?
I've been following passively because I don't really have I don't have shows to publish transcripts to, and I know you've been kind of looking at it. Can you catch me up on what's been done?
Yeah. So he has an automated type service where you publish and then the transcript is automatically created. It's a known URL, so you can pre-publish with that and you don't have to do anything. No uploading of files. It just works, if I understand it correctly, which, wow. Holy shit, isn't that what I want? The problem is the output file. Wait, no, I think it's just part of it is his service is doing time tagging by word, I think, and not by, you know, every two lines. We have to dive into it.
Okay.
In fact, maybe I should put it this way. Hey, Dave. When you have some time, help me on this Ryan transcript service because I'm a little lost. I'm not quite sure what to do, and I want to implement it, but I'm afraid because I know what happens when you screw something up in the RSS feed, and I've just become older and wiser. So I'm very careful, even though I'm itching to do stuff. It's like the same with, you know, like, I haven't quite figured out. I mean, I can, but I haven't quite figured out how to post something like a no agenda in a comment. With my credentials, I have to find them on noagendasocial.com. So I need some help with that. Cause I think that if I do that from No Agenda Social, everyone posting, commenting on my initial post that shows up in the apps, and that'll look pretty damn cool, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would look great. Yeah.
So it's these little things that I need some help on because I'm afraid. And I, it's just, when you screw it up, it's not just.
Don't live by fear, Adam.
I'm deathly afraid because it's all the emails and the tweets and everything. It's just like my whole time, the timeline of my life becomes polluted with, hey, man.
That's the way it always works. Hey, man.
Hey, man. You didn't upload it to iTunes.
That's right.
All right. Because I'm very excited about that kind of service. You know, that I desperately want to have something like that. How beautiful would that be? So easy.
You know what I'm looking for right now? Todd on the New Media Show said he had a Mastodon server.
Hmm. But he uses his podcast index account when he posts with us, I think.
Maybe. Maybe.
Hmm. No, who knows?
Anyway, I'm trying to find the Geek News Central Mastodon because I was going to see if I could post something over there about the show, like get it over there somebody else would try to comment on it.
I see.
I'll look back. I'll look at Ryan's thing. I've just been reading the emails as they come in, but I'll dig into it.
All right, quick helipad update.
Well, actually, I talked to. On Telegram this morning, I talked to Luke Childs, who seems to be the, I hope I'm not misspeaking here, but he seems to be the lead developer on the Umbral side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So he was trying to test out, this is funny. Okay. So he was trying to test out the helipad app for they've got a new release coming up in a few days. And so he's trying to get it all tested. And he says, yeah, and I need, it's running, but it says there's nothing to show. And so I was like, okay, well, me and Brian of London both said, well, we can send you some boostergrams if you'll send us the node ID and as a test. And so he messages me on Telegram. I think he messaged Brian also, but he DMs me on Telegram. He's like, you know, okay, here, it's set up. Here's the node ID. And I sent him one through Podfriend. And I'm not sure if Podfriend's value for value might be broken. A couple of times lately, I've tried to send things through Podfriend and it has not gone through.
I haven't seen that problem. I switched back and forth. I have been using Podfriend. I can check and see if, yeah, I've seen Podfriend boostergrams come into my node. I have noticed some things where you just get a blue screen and it doesn't really catch.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going on there.
I tried to send to him through Podfriend. It didn't work. So he's like, well, you know, don't worry about it. Well, you know, it's getting late here. I'll pick this back up in the morning. And,
yeah, I just so confirmed. Then, I got stuff from Podfriend.
Okay. Well, just, so he bails out of the Telegram chat and then just, I'm like, okay, well, I'll just get to send you one through, CurioCaster just for giggles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just shoot one and I didn't tell him I was doing that. I just shoot one through CurioCaster. And he comes back on the Telegram chat and he was like, whoa. He was like, I just got something with a pew.
It delights, like, man. It delights. It does.
Yeah. He was like, this is rad, man. This is cool. So it's working. It's working. Yep. And so he got it working. He had one good point that we're going to need to fix. And I just didn't think about this, which is, he said, it looks like you're referencing external images within the Helpad app. And I said, yeah, it's the app images, you know?
Yeah.
And they're coming off our website. And I said, well, yeah, because in case we add new apps, I wanted it to be dynamic. So we have to do a whole new release. And he said, yeah, that's not going to work because you're leaking your IP address every time.
That's right. You're leaking. Yeah, that's right. Yep. You leak us.
You're leaking everywhere.
Thousands of Umbrals are being sucked dry from their Bitcoin because of a suspicious leak of IP address.
Yeah, coming from this new thing called Helipad. What is that?
I don't know, but Curry had one near his castle.
And so I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. Got to fix that. So I'm going to do a new release, hopefully today, that fixes that, and then the retest and try to get a package.
Ah, cool. Well, we used for Curry and the Keeper, which we did yesterday, episode number 2. Everybody, if you want to drink some wine, have a little chat.
The deuce.
The deuce. And so I just went into Helipad and I just, you know, show older boosts. And then I did a control A, control C. No, I'm sorry. That's what I here's how I started doing it. I took the database, took a copy of that, and did grep minus A, keeper.
Okay, wait, let me stop you right here real quick.
That was really cool. Yeah, of course, it's a binary file. I know.
No, this is what Adam does. When you make a new, when you make a piece of software and you give it to him, you won't hear. You'll hear a couple of quick bug reports, and then you fix those, and you won't hear anything for a month. And then the next time you talk, you say, "Oh yeah, how's this thing going?" And what Adam will do is he'll say, "Yeah, I've had this one little thing that I had to work around," and we find out that it was this long ass huge workaround for something that you could fix in 10 seconds. And he's been doing this every day for a month.
Dude, because I don't want to bother you.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, it's true. All
right. So what is this control A pew thing?
Well, no, first I was, I have a MoFax split on this so I can track the boostergrams. I've got, so there's a couple of different splits that I get, and so I can see, but it's all mixed up in one timeline. So I needed to separate that out. So the first thing I tried is I grabbed the database. And I'm like, well, maybe I can look in this database. You know, it's like more database.db binary file reject. Then I'm like, yeah, okay, let's do more database.db grep pipe to grep switch A. And then keeper, and it gave me all the lines. It was perfect. Oh, this is fantastic, but it was almost unreadable. And then I just like, you know, right. How about this? I went to the web. I went to the web interface, clicked in on it, and, you know, got all the boostergrams, and then did select, you know, copy, and then select all copy, and then pasted it into an outline, and then just manually moved all that. There's Adam's workaround. Yeah, manually moved all of the shit away until I only had the curry and the keeper boostergrams.
And you're still looking for, this is all to try to fix the lack of a CSV export.
That's correct. That is correct. That's the whole reason I'm doing this.
Next release, baby. Next release.
Okay, I love you for that. Hey, you know, speaking of features and apps and I do want to say, as we near the end of the year, I am so proud of everybody at podcastindex.social, everyone who's been working on this stuff, podcasting 2.0.
Totally.
App developers. Holy moly crap. What a year. It's unbelievable. Yeah. This is going at 5 times the speed of 1.0. Mm-hmm. It really is.
It's so fun to watch.
And when I see articles showing up that don't mention Podcast Index, Adam Curry, Dave Jones, anything like that, and it's just about podcasting 2.0, I get excited.
I like that too. Yeah, I like that
too. You know, it's like, okay, this is what I want. I want people to forget about what we're doing over here. Just, can we use it? Are we at that level? And we're getting there. We're getting there.
I want it to just be a thing that exists.
Yeah. And we're getting there with the help of our guest in the boardroom today, who have been patiently waiting as Dave and I have been yapping away, just catching up our own little tea party. From Podcast Guru, we welcome Jason Hudgens and Joseph Hill.
Hey,
guys. How you guys doing?
Doing all right.
Actually, we're doing the show. Yeah, we should be doing, hey, guys. That's how we're supposed to do it, Dave. We got to coordinate. Hey, there. Hey, guys.
Hey, there. I like hey there.
Hey, too. There. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
You know, I was going to say, I have been trying to get Jason and dropping the ball for so long. And so, like, you've been quietly, Podcast Guru, it is off my radar screen for most of each week because I'm so focused on boosting and boostergrams and there's no value for value in it. So I end up, and then it ends up getting pushed to the side of my phone. And so I only use it about once a week. But you've been quietly like adding just feature after feature after feature. And I mean, you've got so much podcasting 2.0 stuff in there now. And it's such a, like, it's just a beautiful app. When did y'all, so I want to start off with some text. I know that there's bigger sort of higher level stuff to talk about, but I want to add, because you're one of the only apps that has Android and iOS and a lot of 2.0 stuff in it. And I want to know, just if you can tell me what framework you're using for being able to do that, or do you have separate code bases?
They're completely separate. So Android is mostly Java with a little Kotlin, and iOS is a completely different app. all in Swift.
Oh, wow. That's so, I mean, okay. That leads me to my next question. How big is your team? how many people?
It's changed over time. Right now, I'm a longtime Android dev, so I do most of the Android stuff. And then I've got another guy that helps me with more of the iOS stuff. And we started on a website too. We've barely gotten into the podcasting 2.0 stuff on the website. So I'm trying to learn some React in the background.
And I just want everyone to know that Jason is literally talking into a webcam right now, right. Just to actually sound, to have some kind of volume on the show. Yeah. And I apologize. There's literally no technical way for me to add a little high end to Jason.
It's a good visual though, with him holding a webcam in his hand.
And I envision one of those Logitech balls, you know, Okay.
Here, Jason, this is what you sound like. Jason, you're now on the show. Okay.
We got to get Jason to mic, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. We were talking about that going into it, but it's, Jason is,
messing with you. It's fine.
Over the keyboard all the time. He's deep in the bowels of the system.
I'm just messing with you. I have a thing for sound.
So that's Joseph. So Joseph, are you on the iOS side of things?
No, I'm not. I'm actually more on the marketing, business side of things.
You're the suit. You're the one with the time.
There we go. Okay.
I'm the presentable one. That's why I focused on getting a decent microphone.
You're the guy that comes in and is like, okay, it's lunch. Who wants lunch?
That's a valuable role.
It is. So yeah, lunch is important. I got to keep productive people productive.
So I just want to go back to Jason for a second. So when did Podcast Guru, when was it first released?
I want to say it's been out 2 years. I probably started working on it just as a hobby about 4 years ago.
Right. But it's been kind of a staple of the Android world, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I Podcast Guru since I switched to Graphene OS and Android, I've heard so many people, and it's also a great branding, I think. So I've heard so many people talk about it.
Well, thanks. It started out, like I said, like a hobby project, and I just wasn't really happy with the apps that were on Android at the time. So I said, okay, yeah, I'll write my own. I've got some prior experience writing music apps, so this will just take a few weeks, and here I am 4 years later, still working on it.
What kind of, we say music apps, what's your history there?
Back when Android first launched, back in 2007, I really dived into it. And I worked on a couple of different projects. One of them was an app called TuneWiki, which I don't know how many people have ever heard of that.
That sounds familiar. Another good name, actually. Yeah. That's why it may sound familiar.
It was a crowdsourced lyric app that was basically just a music player for Android and iOS. And it had this feature, that's what it's called, a wiki, where you could enter in song lyrics. And then you would timestamp them, so as the music played, it was almost like a little karaoke looking thing. But that was probably one of the funnest projects I ever worked on. And when that startup kind of died, and I went into the corporate world, I just missed working on those kind of apps.
Funny how the corporate world will do that.
Yeah,
kill stuff. So now. Dave was talking about the features, the 2.0 features that you support. What I see on this is a test. What I see on the apps page is search, transcript, funding, chapters, location, person, season. Am I missing anything?
I think that's it. And then we're going to be adding some more soon. But basically, I got two or three of those in. I got some of the easier ones done. And then we really just stopped for about a year to work on the iOS app, and when it launched, I wanted them both to have kind of like feature parity, so we added in some more, and this is where we're at. The iOS app's only been out a few weeks, maybe a little over a month, and once we've got all the bugs worked out there, we're gonna keep adding some more P2 tags, probably alternate closure and other stuff.
Oh, you're gonna do alternate? Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I had talked to you a while back and tried to get you on the show, and you're like, hey, let's just hang loose, and because we're working hard and heavy on this iOS app, and maybe when that comes out, we can talk about it at the same time. And I was in the test flight for it for a while, and it's just such a pretty app. You know, one thing that's hard to, that's really hard to do from a UI perspective is to get all the features into the UI in a way that doesn't look like this kitchen sink of garbage everywhere. And so you end up like hiding things behind other things or putting little bitty, you know, widgets with hard to hit touch targets on them. And I don't see any of that problem in your UI. It looks like everything's just very easy to access.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, that's kind of our really target is try to balance that. We don't have every single feature on under the sun. I'm mm-hmm. trying to get the most important things in there, but do it in a way where people don't feel overloaded when they use the app for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you do the UI yourself, or do you have a designer or somebody that helps you with that?
So we do have a graphic designer. Most of the UI comes from just my history. Like, I know how to put things together, but like, you know, the pixel by pixel stuff. We've got a really good graphic designer, Matt, and he helps put my ideas and make them real, and then we go out and build them.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jason.
I was just going to say that my experience is mostly on Android. So Joseph has actually helped out a lot with Matt on it because they're more iOS guys. So it's a team effort.
What do you see is that? And maybe it's a question for Joseph. What is the main audience? Well, what is there? Is this a business? Is it a hobby? Is it a hybrid? Is it a maybe? And you know, where do you want to go? What do you want to communicate? What's the uniqueness of Podcast Guru?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a business. We'd like to see it, you know, be something that could fill, you know, could fill all our time. So I think Jason kind of undersells it because that's the natural, you know, way of things that, you know, his work and vision on it. But like, you know, so he has this history with TuneWiki, you know, going back to the, like, before Android even launched and Google was doing those competitions. And so, like, he has this eye for, you know, what the native experience should be, like, which was really important for Android apps, especially in a market where, you know, so many of the podcast apps target iOS first. So, like, you know, as an iOS user myself, I was mostly cheering him on from the side. you know, like, hey, go after that audience, which I think he's just, you know, done, like, great. And, you know, you asked that question earlier about what cross-platform framework he was using. It's like, well, the number one thing was to have that native experience that, you know, Android people would appreciate. And it's just all about the experience. So, you know, he's avoided, you know, from a business model perspective, like it avoided the banner ad, you know, option, which is what like everybody else went for. And, right. You know, we're just right now, we kind of have it divided between, you know, we have some nice features in our subscription product, but we're more focused on just, you know, giving a great experience and growing our audience and user base by giving, you know, people an experience that
respects them. So you have a subscription model, where people pay an X amount per month?
It's a annual subscription, but, yes.
Yeah. But so the app is, free to use. Like Joseph said, I really do not like the freemium model where you put banner ads and you kind of force people to pay to do that. So I decided to take a different route. We were going to build some really nice premium features. So that works fine for free, but if you want things like having a real time backup of your playlists and everything, you got to pay for that. So that's our VIP tier.
Yeah. What else is in the VIP tier?
So right now, just, three things. You can get fine grained speed control, so you can really tune in the play speed on per podcast. We have the best features. What I mentioned is probably the cloud sync. So it's a real time sync using Google's Firestore service on the back end. So if you have an Android and iOS or multiple devices, it instant like you can subscribe on one phone and see it update on the other in real time.
That's sexy. Very nice.
We've kind of got that extended to web too. Like I said earlier, the web still needs a lot of work, but you know, if you want to upgrade or you lose your phone or something like that, it makes things really easy. And it's not just your subscriptions, it's everything. So, you know, if you're listening to an episode and you pause it 16 minutes in, it remembers that.
You know what I'm just noticing? As the same thing happened with Podcast Guru that happened with Castomatic, is I was subscribed because I was in test flight. I was subscribed to the VIP or purchased the premium thing. And the little text in the middle, I just never read it. And it says, this is for testing purposes only. You will not be charged. So I'm having to upgrade. I hope I'm not going to lose any new features in the beta by doing this, but I got to, and I'm going to hit you with this too, which is I have to hit almost every developer with the same thing is, you know, this $10.99 a year. I mean, I want like higher levels of that. I mean, I want to be able to pay you know, $25 or $50 a year. You know, I know it's sort of it's this unfortunate thing that happens with app stores and, you know, the app sort of landscape that we've become accustomed to, that everything is like this one payment thing. It's like, okay, my product costs $5 or $10 or whatever, or 99 cents. But really, I mean, if you give people options to pay you more,
there you go. They will pay more.
You will be stunned at how many times they will pay you more. Yeah. It's a big deal to artificially limit the amount of money that your true fans can give you.
And I think
that's never in your interest.
Yeah. I mean, features are always great, but I agree. I think, I know many people really, you know, it's a religion, right? Your podcast app is very personal, what it does, how it functions, because you're interacting with it a lot. And when people love an app, they will love it forever. And if you say, hey, I need money, they will send it to you. I agree with Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exactly what you said, Dave. The Play Stores, like, you have to set up a SKU and set up a specific price and add a definition for that product and, you know, translate it into 9. So we're very limited by what the app stores have let us do there.
Really? Is it within the rules to just put like maybe 3 different tiers? Like, I can subscribe at this level, or this level?
Yeah. That's certainly possible.
I'm very passionate about the pricing space. I think we've had a lot of passionate discussions about it. And it's like, you know, picking the balance of not presenting the you know, the average listener that doesn't maybe necessarily want to think about, you know, the options that they have, you know, so like having just one simple option to give people. But I think, you know, I think you raise a lot of, you know, like a really good points for the creator space in large, and something that that podcast producers like yourself have to deal with.
I love this guy. Hold on a second, Joseph. I got to find out your background, because if you're not raising money for this outfit, you should be. Where are you coming from?
Most recently Microsoft.
Nice.
Started a company before that called Xamarin. So yeah, I have a little bit of background in the mobile space.
Xamarin, Xamarin, that was part of the whole thing with .NET, cross-platform .NET on Linux.
You're correct. Yeah, Mono.
Mono was. Yes, I couldn't remember the name. Yes, Mono. That's right. You were part of Xamarin then.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you're part of it or founded it?
I was co-founder. Yeah.
But co-founder. Joseph. Okay. Now, I can't speak on behalf of Jason here, but you sound like the kind of guy who should go out and raise some money for this little band of bandits and turbocharge this operation.
That's not a terrible idea.
Yeah, see, I heard it. This guy's talk is like, okay, he's still kind of talking in his like pitch mode, and I appreciate it because I've done this myself. But it's good, man. You sound like a great partner for a company like this to have.
Well, thanks. And Jason and I are, you know, we've been buddies for years. So
well, good. Then sign contracts now so everything's clear. So you can still be friends at the end.
No. Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing is, you know, I'd read this thing a while back where the biggest problem people have on things like Kickstarter is they don't give the upper levels. So, and you know, they'll give, okay, well, here's $10 or $25 or $50, but there's no option in there. And I don't want to belabor the point, but there's no option in there to say, okay, well, I'll give you 500 or 1,000 or, you know, 2,500. And for there's always going to be a class of people out there who have enough scratch that the difference between, you know, 500 and 25 is just not, is just a, they don't even think about it in those terms. And so they're always just going to, they're going to give you the big money, but they, if they can't, then they can't. And that's the thing. It's like, it wouldn't even be a thing for me. Like it wouldn't even be a thing where you had different tiers to unlock different things.
No, you're lying now. I heard Dave Jones just say he's going to give you $2,500. You just need to have an option for him to do it.
We'll put that option in there for you. Thank you.
It's 2,500 sats. Let me clarify. 2,500 sats. Okay.
So, like I said, the pricing topic that you're raising is like, I'm very passionate about that. I mean, going back from, you know, when we were learning about this, when we were pricing Xamarin, and at the time it was called MonoTouch, we didn't, you know, somebody pointed me to a book called Don't Just Roll the Dice. And that was free. Mm-hmm. It was a PDF you could go download. I recommend it to everybody in software because it really just goes right to the heart of the problem you're talking about there. It's like, you need to have these prices out here so that people can give you the maximum amount they want to. And then your feature differentiation is just to give them, you know, some value for that. And, you know, the other side of that coin is like, even just when we move from, you know, an in-app purchase of just purchasing to subscription, right? Or the idea of a perpetual license versus subscription, like for most people, there's not a lot of thought put into those two options. And so that's, I think, why you see the world moving to SaaS, where you have, you know, people say, well, I'm just going to keep giving you, you know, money because I'm continuing to get value from this, and, you know, I can turn off the spigot. So I think the last part of that is like, you know, the idea of having escalating requests, right? So, you know, you can get people, you know, in for a little bit, and you add more features and you add more value, and you can, you know, you have more to offer. So that's another way to tease out, you know, the value from your biggest fans or the people that are getting most value from what you're offering.
Basically what I'm asking you is, why didn't you invite me to the boardroom? So clearly an expert on this, having never launched a profitable product.
We're very good at this.
Yes.
Yes.
Very As good. Somebody who buys things, I have strong opinions.
Yes. As do I.
Now, are there any, streaming value for value plans for Podcast Guru?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely on our roadmap. I was on that initial call when you guys kind of rolled it out and introed like kind of the architecture of it. And that's
I remember.
In the back of my mind.
Yep.
So, I'm just waiting till I get a point, cause we want to roll it out on obviously both platforms at the same time.
Nice.
I haven't mentioned this, but my day job is, working for a company, a very large company in financial services. So I'm the guy that has to read the FFIEC retail mobile handbook, you know, for compliance and regulation. So we're
totally illegal in all aspects of financial rules and regulations. Yeah. I mean, Eric has burned out several times just reading that shit. It's crazy.
Yeah. Half of his gray hair is from us.
Yeah. Right.
I'm absolutely not scared to do it. It's just one of those things where if I do it, I want to make sure the customer support doesn't become a nightmare.
Like, right.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard enough, you know, explaining to people, you know, okay, well, your external media, your SD card is not mounted anymore. That's why your offline files disappear. You know, I have long conversations with people
right.
over that. So trying to explain to someone why they lost like $60 is going to be even harder. So I just want to make sure we do it safely.
Okay, cool. I like that. Good approach. Yeah. Very good approach.
This is all, I mean, like, that's what I tell people too. This is not... There's no shame in being afraid to get into the Lightning space at this point, because, you know, it's very new territory. And so you don't, you know, that's always, it takes time, and you got to do it right.
It's been getting some good press though. I've been seeing all kinds of valuations and how much money is in the Lightning network, and that people who trade are now using it for faster transfers.
Yeah, it works. And it works. That's what I was telling
crazy. It does.
That's what I was telling Chris yesterday, because he was like, well, you know, oh, that's great to be able to, you know, get small little bits of money, you know, for your podcast. And I was like, no, Chris, listen, we've gotten donations of 500,000 sats. That's like $250. We've had large amounts of money coming in. This is not like a toy. This is a legit payment network.
You know, Neil Jones, your brother from Another Mother, who's the clip custodian.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Who does clips for No Agenda. So he gets a piece of the value block. He gets a split. And he said, mm-hmm. I got this huge amount, you know, like it's like 10,000 sats or something just in one go. I said, yeah. I said, that's mm-hmm. That was from a mega boost or whatever. And, you know, he looks at the end of the month. He says, you know, obviously it's he can't live off of that. But he says, it's nice. It really is nice. It's a little bit of, and he's not, he's just keeping it. He doesn't want to, he wants to keep it for the value and he thinks it'll be worth more in a couple of years. But, it's, you're right. It's not a toy. It's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as from a, for an app like Podcast Guru, and I think, you know, I think it's interesting to think about it in this way is it's like a, once you get into that space, now you're also a you're also a crypto company at that point because you're right. You know you're part you can take a split as well and that gets you into a whole nother space also where you can begin to do really cool stuff because now you have access to that payment technology.
Here's what's really, you know, and of course, lots of caveats, lots of moving pieces, but Joseph, you like this. I'm going to help you out because I've done this so many times. I love this. When you have and I know this firsthand from some of our other developers, when you have investors and you say, look, here's our business model. Here's how we're doing it. Here's what's coming in on the subscriptions. Now look over here. Every minute of every day of every week or every month of every year, there's a drip of money coming in from people using our product. All we have to do is get more people, people. And by the way, there's an increased value as well, depending on what you do with that income. But that is so sexy to investors or, you know, really anyone. And I think that is in an odd way. Yes. Podcasting is still a vibe of cool people hanging out together and doing something, but there is this kind of bubbling undercurrent of a common goal of, hey, maybe we can all get a little piece of Bitcoin for everything we're doing.
Yep. Yeah. I think, you figured it out. I mean, that's, I was, you know, like we're, I mean, I think the details of it, Jason obviously can speak to better. But just the general, we want happy users. Like you have happy users and then you can create that world you just described.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting way forward in the industry for anybody who gets into that space because it just opens up. Once you have programmable money, it just your mind can't stop thinking of all the new ways to do crazy stuff.
that's my problem for sure.
Yeah, it's like for most developers, I'm sure you're like this too, Jason. Once you have that, you can think of immediately like three or four different things you want to do. I want to be able to give money back, you know, for giveaways. I want to be able to, you know, forward, split this these payments up into these different things, depending on, what's happening in the state of the app. And it's just, you begin to just have this overload of cool ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'm surprised no one's doing this, but you could literally make your podcast or even your artwork an NFT and sell it right from the app.
That's true.
I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but like you said, it's just, you just sit and brainstorm endlessly about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once you get in, once you have that mindset, it's like, you just can't stop thinking about that sort of thing. And honestly, that's what podcasting I think that's one on a personal level. That's one thing that makes me geek out about this stuff so much is that's the sort of kind of crazy feature train that podcasting hasn't had in a while.
Yeah.
Everything is just boiled down to like, okay, let's sell more ads. Let's
deal with this kind of stuff. That's most of the conversation seems to be about.
It's just boring. Yeah. It's just boring. How do y'all decide, Jason, how do you decide what feature comes next? How do you decide how to spend your time?
I listen to my users a lot, what they want me to implement. Mm-hmm. Ironically, like back when I first started doing apps, especially on Android, everything had to support not just portrait but landscape as well.
Yeah.
And you know, this is the first app that said, you know, I'm just going to let that go. Right. I'm not going to support it. And you would think that would be like a big deal, but I get almost no requests where I get more requests for other things. So
so it's like somebody took the handcuffs off of you finally.
Yeah. So podcasting 2.0 really changed a lot for us because, like you guys said, nothing was changing in podcasting. It had been static for a long time. And, you know, I started adding those features, and I don't know if you guys have used the app, but I've got a popular tab. And once I put in like three or four of these PTO tags, No Agenda instantly became like the number one. It's been there for months.
Yeah.
So every week we refresh that.
I was going to ask you how you do that, because that's one of the biggest, to me, that's one of the landmark features, or like each app has kind of a personality. And to me, that popular page is sort of the personality of Podcast Guru. I mean, what's the tag behind that?
So basically it's only looking at our own data set. So, you know, we basically use, Google, Analytics and BigQuery, and I've just got a BigQuery thing that runs.
Python script. So it's, that's interesting.
Okay. So you have, if I'm understanding you right, I know you search Podcast Index.
Yes.
Because I can find shows in there that I know are not in iTunes. So do you have your own database that you then pull in from multiple searching sources, and then you have your own aggregators?
We have kind of an on demand thing. So on our website,
okay,
if you search, it'll go and it'll do an iTunes search in the background, and it'll kind of populate in your internal database. It doesn't proactively go out there and, you know, search for stuff and look for updates. But then we use that data on the back end. So, like for example, popular, I don't remember the exact algorithm I'm using, but I think I just look, you know, over the last week, what are the most listened to episodes? And, you know, it changes weekly.
How do you do the feature? I'm looking at the web version.
So the featured, I believe that's just pulled straight from iTunes originally. And then we have our own little recipe we can put in there. Sometimes podcasters will reach out to us and we'll work out a deal where they'll promo us and we'll insert them somewhere in that list.
No, I see you marketing that get featured. That's cool.
Yeah, that's something Joseph brainstormed actually.
So. Yeah, I mean, you know, and I always tell, or I have told in the past, developers, like, you know, just get in touch, or podcasters, get in touch with each other, put a split in the value block for a bit and feature them. You know, it's like, it's kind of a fair way of doing it. Everybody wins. Easy. Don't have to think about it. So I do see
that's a good idea.
Your web version, is not using Podcast Index, I don't think.
No, not yet.
Okay.
Our web, we had a web guy that was doing some work for us there, and then he kind of, I don't know what happened to him. We haven't heard from him for about a month and a half.
Flamed out.
Okay.
Yeah. So
we know how
so
this
I'm
works.
Trying to I'm trying to go back in there and fix that myself. And man, it's been a decade since I did any serious web development, so I'm having to ramp up.
Okay.
Yeah, I was saying. I think that's what Jason was trying to hedge against earlier when he mentioned the web. But yeah, so like the, you know, Android is still the leading experience here with it. You know, like you know, like you mentioned, you know, implementing the search and I think it's the default over on iOS as well. Right, Jason?
Yeah, it should be. So basically, I mean, we started out using iTunes like everyone else. And we added Podcast Index as an option over a year ago. And it's just worked so well. We just made that the default. People can still use iTunes, but they have to manually go in there and switch it in their settings.
So, a question again about the popular, the data set that you use is your own data set, but is that from usage from your app, or is it overall podcast usage? Is it something that you aggregate from different places?
it's from usage from our app.
Okay.
That's really all we have access to.
Right. So no agenda is basically keeping you afloat, if I hear that properly. I should be giving you guys a split. Do you have a lightning node? I'd love to give you a split, certainly, of this episode.
I don't. Not yet.
Okay. Missing out on free sats, man.
Yeah, that's free money. Free money over here at Podcasting 2.0. We're just giving it away.
That's about to be rectified.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So how do you? One thing that I've always struggled with, Jason, for the index is that I want to have, some of that like featured and ranked and trending and popular. I want to have some of that data there, but I don't want to pull it from a third party because I have no idea what their agenda is. But at the same time, I don't want it to just be like a crude counting of how many downloads or how many
or something API that's gamifiable.
Hits. Well, see, that's what I'm trying to get at is I know it's really impossible to stop all the gaming, but I'm wondering if you have thoughts on that of how you've approached that to try to get something that's accurate and kind of get rid of as much of the gamification as you can.
In our case, it's just our data, so I can trust that pretty well. But in this type of case where you're ingesting a data set from, you know, many different apps, I mean, that honestly sounds like a blockchain's made for. If you can see a stream of payments and who they're going to, that might be one way you can rank things without having to rely on a third party.
Oh, okay. So like, that's a good idea is having boosts and streaming payments as sort of the popularity signal.
Yeah. I don't know if that would work over Lightning, but like on a layer one blockchain, data could be safe.
That's really interesting, Dave. When the payment comes in, regular streaming sat, do you have any data as to what podcast is being listened to? Is that in the TOV record of a regular streaming payment? Dude,
it's in there.
You've been asleep at the wheel.
No, I saw. This is terrible.
Yeah, this data should have been all for sale already on the black market.
Well, we've never had we've never interviewed Jason on the show, so I never had access to this data before.
Again, your fault. You couldn't get it together. Yeah,
I know. I'm dropping the ball left and right around.
I have two namespace questions for for Jason. Thoughts about the media tag and your implementation of it, and au courant today would be fast follow if you have any interest in that or if you've been looking at that.
I don't know what fast follow is.
I can give you we've been trying to solve this problem of being able to link like universal subscription type links so that somebody can say subscribe to my podcast and you could just do a thing on your phone and it would subscribe to it in your podcast app of choice, which sounds like it should be simple, but is anything but.
So you would need like a universal ID or something there.
Bingo.
So we have that with the podcast GUID, and every podcast in the index has the GUID field, the GUID field with it, and that's a universally unique ID that follows the podcast even if it moves hosts. So we have that ID thing. We've got that solved. And so what my idea was, and I think we sort of hashed this out with Alex Gates on the social, was that you would have we've got this domain called fastfollow.org, I think. And what it would do is it would take a GUID, a podcast GUID, and then resolve it to either a link to the website or the feed URL itself, depending on which app requested it. So if a browser did the request to fastfollow.org/the GUID, it would resolve to the show's website. But if an app requested it, it would give back the feed URL instead.
Theory opens up a default app that is configured somehow.
Well, this would be done in the app itself.
Right.
So you would
have the app itself. Yeah. Got it. So you have a scanner in the app.
Yeah, like Podcast Guru would have like a QR code scanner or something like that in it, and you would scan it and it would hit fast follow and get the feed URL.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. It sounds totally doable too.
Yeah. I mean, does that sound like something that you would, because we're thinking QR codes just because they're easy and people can
They've had a resurgence, Bitcoin and Lightning and all of this has kind of brought QR codes back. Oh, fuck it. Coronavirus. That's brought QR codes back. Thank you, COVID.
Yeah. Menus at the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, most podcast apps that support OPML import are going to have all the plumbing there. They just got to add the little QR code reader and you're off.
Yeah. I mean, if that sounds like something that, that you could possibly support in the future, because I'm actively going to, I think I'm going to start working on that in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, so, a few thoughts. QR codes are ugly.
Ugly.
If you're scanning a QR code, the thing is it's supported at the operating system level now. So like, you know, one of the challenges like I'm presented with, because I have a lot of podcast apps on my phone, oddly, for perhaps obvious reasons.
And, Joseph.
And so, you know, people, you know, links end up getting hijacked. So, you know, that's an interesting, you know, problem with, you know, you think something's going to open a podcast guru, but it doesn't. But if you're thinking about doing it, you know, if you're thinking about scanning in app, like you could just avoid QR code. You can read just about anything in the world now. Maybe you could pick something better looking, recognize the logo or the URL. I mean, that, you know, cameras are, are pretty smart now.
Yeah. Well, like what? You got an idea?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't have any specific idea. I'm just thinking that like, I mean, you could, as simple as read a short URL. I mean, like text can be read now. The upside from my perspective is like, if you have your own format and Podcast Guru supports it, then, you know, and then it does the scanning in app, then, you know, we have kind of more control over it. You know, or you ship your own app. This is just live brainstorming, because
that's what we do here in the boardroom.
Problem, and now I'm thinking about it.
That's what the boardroom is for, Joseph.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, because the idea of like in-app scanning versus using the system scanner is that you have the system scanner is still going to be vulnerable to the same issue, which is ultimately the iOS does not allow you to set a default podcast app.
Right.
And so you can't just launch, you can't say like podcast:// and a feed URL. If that could be done, I mean, God, we wouldn't have to jump through all these stupid hoops. But now I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Android does allow you to set a default podcast app. Is that correct?
You can. You can like register a default handler for certain things.
Every 2 weeks, it'll say just once or always. It always gets deregistered somehow.
Yeah.
Well, it's really frustrating when you register it to something you don't want, and then you have to figure out how to
unregister. Yeah, that's the worst part. I agree. Have you looked at the media tag yet? Because, you know, as we're looking to figure out how to do video and signal that in the feed, or music, or other types of enclosure formats.
Medium.
I'm sorry, not media. Medium.
So interesting. You mentioned video, because that's one of the, I think that's completely unexplored in our space. I remember the first time someone asked me, said, why don't you support video? This is a long time. I'm like, what? There's a video? There's such a thing? So I looked at it. I'm like, wow, I found like one video. And, you know, so we made it work. We've got full video support in both.
Oh, I didn't know you had that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I haven't even tried that.
When I said that we didn't support landscape, I lied. That's a one screen where we do, so when you're watching a video. I would really like to see a lot more video-based content. I don't know what the hold up there, if it's just expensive to host that stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly it. No hosting, hosting providers don't offer it, and YouTube is free.
Yeah.
That's the main reason. So we're working on that. That's a longer-term project. We have all the solutions.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Here it is, Animated No Agenda playing in Podcast Guru. I've never even tried a video podcast in Podcast Guru. It's just kind of blowing my mind a little bit, because it looks really good.
Cool.
Yeah, Yeah, this looks really good because it's not you. I don't know how you're doing this because typically in on iOS, it's kind of a jarring experience because it takes you out. It kicks you out of the app into a full screen version of the video, but you're somehow able to play this sort of in the app in a window.
Are you using the Android or iOS version right now?
iOS.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I'll have to circle back and compliment Alex on that because I didn't actually do all that tooling. That was my friend Alex. But
if I recall correctly, that's a recent iOS feature to be able to do to send.
Okay. So it's an OS level thing then.
I think so. But yeah, you can do that task, Alex.
Yeah, because in the past, whenever you would be in a podcast app, which most of them don't even support video, but if you were ever in one that did on iOS and you click, you know, to start playing, it would just totally kick you out of the app into a full screen window of the video. I hadn't tried in a while, but seeing that play in the app is really cool because you still have all your features and everything and your chapters and all that stuff available to you right there where you can see it.
I think we're benefiting from being a new app and Alex just using the latest and greatest when in the initial implementation. I'm just going to answer that for Alex since he's not here.
Okay. Fair enough.
Dave, I think we should thank a few people for supporting this outstanding value for value project, open project that is podcasting 2.0. You're hearing how it's, you're seeing and hearing how the sausage is being made in real time. Which is what we always do in the board meeting. And if you'd like to support us with your Fiat Fun coupons, you can do that by going to podcastindex.org and hitting the red donate button at the bottom. Of course, we love the streaming payments, the boostergrams. And what are we starting with today, Dave?
Oh, we got a couple of PayPals. You guys cool with sticking around? We can do some donations and some boosts.
Sure.
All right.
It didn't sound very enthusiastic. I don't know. Yeah. Like, boost? What? Boost?
Maybe.
It's like, does that hurt? Does it hurt me if they boost me?
Well, Justin Price boosted us through PayPal, $100.
Whoa, nice.
He says, "Hello, I'm a computer science student who enjoys the weekly entertainment from the podcast. Podcast Addict is an excellent app for Android. My shirt size is 2XL, if there are any still available."
He knows about the shirt promotion.
Yes, he does. Hopefully, my address is listed with the donation. Go podcasting.
Oh, hold on a second. Yes, go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Thank you, Justin. So, Eric, we're going to get some more t-shirts made because we ran out. And we're having a meeting. Discussion on Signal about all of us were talking about which, like, if we wanted to change the shirt style, and then we never made a decision.
Oh, really? I thought somehow in the back of my mind, it's like, okay, that's done. I checked that box. Okay.
Remember, we talked about t-shirts,
and I said I wanted different
lanyards.
And right.
We made no decision.
I just want a different material t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. I have to pick that back up, and I've still got everybody that things like two or three people that needed a t-shirt from a donation. I've got everybody still on the list, and so as soon as we print some more up, we're going to send them out.
Dave, all we have to say in these days is, hey man, supply chain issues, okay? Supply chain issues.
Bingo. It's like, I'll just say, they're stuck in LA.
At the port.
Yeah, at the port.
Right. Thank you very much, man. That was great. Great donation.
$100 from through PayPal from Ari Baratz. A-R-I-E. I think that's
Ari. Could be Ari. From Holland, Dutch, maybe.
Oh, okay. All right. Ari Baratz, $100 through PayPal. And I could not find a note. So thank you, Ari.
Ari, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. If you want to send a note, please do. Let's see. All right. We got some boost now. I got some booster grams.
Okay, hold on a second.
Boost.
Did you clip that out?
How good is that?
Nice. Uh-huh. It's so ironic, too.
Yeah, I know.
Comic strip blogger, 3,333 sats.
He's back promoting his AI podcast?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He gave us, he gave us three donations, and I'm going to read. They're all identical.
Well, let's do his jingle first.
Comic strip.
Comic strip. Comic strip. Blogger. Comic strip.
Comic strip.
Comic strip. Blogger. Comic strip.
Comic strip.
Comic strip.
Comic strip.
Blogger.
Comic strip.
Blogger. I'm gonna have to shorten that. It's too long. I'll shorten that.
Comic strip blogger gave us 3,333 sats.
Three times.
And he says, yes, three times. So 9,999. He says, greetings from Comic Strip Blogger to Podcasting 2.0 team, Dave Jones and Adam Curry. And anybody interested in artificial intelligence is welcome to subscribe and listen to the podcast called AI.cooking that can be found in all podcast apps and in all podcast indexes by searching for AI.cooking. Yo!
Yo!
We will add that you can find it in Podcast Guru because they use our index for search.
Comic Strip Blogger is an excellent example of a value for value convert, and he really understands it. You know, he was complaining that, hey, some people who I know that they receive my boostergram, they didn't mention it on the show. I said, you know what your mistake is? He says, what? I said, you're not sending enough. That's why he tripled down on us.
That's
how it works. You need to berate your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them they're no good. They're not doing enough.
Yeah, and you do that in the app too, Joseph.
Yes, exactly. The app shocks you. It pops up a window, hits you in the face. Exactly.
Yep. Brilliant. Haptics. Obnoxious haptics. We got an anonymous boostergram. This is truly anonymous. There's no name or anything on this. It's from through Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
For 100 sats, and the message is just sats.
Sats.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Jason, you could be enjoying seeing these crazy messages come into your podcast app if you're value for value.
Yeah, I feel like I'm really missing out. So I'm definitely going to look into this.
Yeah, it's crazy some of the stuff that people will send you if you open up the whole internet to send you messages.
Yeah, wait until we get to some of the numerology. Well, the 3333 is a good example. What's next?
Comic Strip Blogger sent us another message, and this is a different message. This is 3,333 sats. Same message, but he says donation from 12th of September. So,
that's for last week.
Yeah,
thank you. That's real money.
Everybody go check out AI.
That's more than some people send through PayPal.
It is. Okay, here we go. Harry Duran sent us 1,111 sats.
Thank you.
Boost!
And he says, long overdue boost!
Yo!
Harry Duran, doing, booster?
Mm-hmm.
Host. Harry Duran, host of the podcast Junkies Podcast. Time for you both to come on the show. Well, I'll be glad to.
Okay.
Anytime, Harry. Right. Thank you, buddy. Who we got here? Oh, Solonomics. All right. I think this is a reprieve of last week. He says, regarding Under a Bus Jingle, this is 2,222 sats, sack of ducks.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Under a Bus Jingle, with the extra 2,222 sat duck boost today, plus boost on delivery, I'll gladly add a 5% split to the podcast index. However, Dave will need to help us set that up. I'll be glad to. Go ahead.
Well, he's saying under the bus jingle?
Yeah, remember they wanted to do us to do an under. He wanted you to do an under the bus thing for their opening of their under the bus segment.
Okay.
And we pushed back and said you didn't send us enough money.
Okay, so now do we owe them something now, or are we even?
I think we're up to speed.
Okay,
I think
cool.
We're square.
Value for value works, people.
What he wrote here is says, Dave is a ledge, by the way.
Yeah.
But I think, I want to say he means legend.
I think ledge is works too.
Ledge.
You're the ledge I'm standing on looking in the precipice.
Okay. I thought it was the ledge that people fall off of.
Yes.
I'm going to go with legend just for my own self-esteem. Yeah. For the jingle, I'm thinking a chicken cluck. What? Followed by Adam saying under a bus in his best Dutch hybrid accent, followed by a thud.
Well, I don't have these sounds. You got to send me the sound. I don't have chicken cluck. I'm looking though. Let me see that. No, I have no chicken cluck. No.
Well, I mean, how about this? How about,
how about this? Time for Under the Bush, everybody. Wait. He wanted me in a Dutch accent?
Yeah, I think he wanted that one. I think he wanted the...
Right, but then, okay, yeah. So then he wants me to do a Dutch accent and then a thud at the end. Is that what he wants?
Yeah, do you have a thud?
Yeah, here we go. Time for Under the Bus, everybody! That's my jingle prowess for today.
That's what 2,222 sats would get you right there. Boost. All right. Let's see. Anonymous through... No. This is not anonymous, but he forgot to sign it. This is from our buddy, Kyron at Mere Mortals.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent us 10,101 sats.
Whoa!
He says, a general reminder that my chat with Adam is up on Mere Mortals. Lots of fun chapter art.
Yes, okay. Yes.
How you doing, Booster?
Thank you very much, Kyron.
Cass Peeland says, he gave us 3,300 sats. He says, thanks for the show. Thank you, Cass.
Thank you.
Cass of the Peeland. 2,500 sats from ADE. I'm not sure who that is. He says, so excited that you are into Web 3.0 and Lightning. Value for value is the future.
I need to hear from someone exactly what Web 3 is, because it sounds like such bullshit what I'm hearing.
If you ask for people to tell you what Web 3.0 is about, you're going to...
I get a lot of opinions.
You're going to get Brian of London.
Oh, Brian of London. Oh, yeah. I didn't ask that. The jury will disregard this remark. I don't want to know.
He's going to blow up your Telegram.
No, I think that his view of Web 3 is probably more correct. I don't know. I understand why we have to call it Web 3. But the general kind of big tech. Well, let's ask Joseph. Joseph, what's Web 3? You're a marketing guy. What's Web 3? Are we a part of it? What's going on?
You should ask Jason.
Man, there we go. There we go. That was very slick. Very well done. What you should have said is, the brains behind the operation, the genius is Jason. So I always leave.
Literally, yes. I was literally about to say everything I know about Web3.
That's a good one. Jason, take it away.
Well, I don't have like a really succinct definition, but I think peer-to-peer is the essence of it.
Decentralized.
Yeah.
Decentralized, but you take a technology like IPFS, so you want to put a piece of content out there and you're not going to a single server to retrieve it. The content is just spread like on a BitTorrent type network.
Yeah, it's just when I hear Silicon Valley type people talking about Web3, I'm like, well, that's kind of the antithesis. It's kind of against you, unless I'm misunderstanding it.
I
think that's why they want to be ahead of it. It's the classic, you want to, if somebody's going to destroy your business, you
want to. Yeah, valid point. Because it'd be like Mastodon, would we all consider that to be Web 3?
No, yeah, I would. No. Well, but see, Web 3.0 has this like
distributed. It's Web 3. It's Web 3. Not 3.0, it's Web 3. Web
3. I'm never going to be able to.
Very important.
Yeah.
2.0. It's 2.0.
Yeah, three, this is 3.
3 is 3. It's like Wi-Fi 5, Wi-Fi 6. All of a sudden, we got to call it this now that we've never had to do that before. I don't know. I mean, like Web, was it Mastodon? I don't think that's Web 3, is it?
Well, if each instance, I think it is, because the content flows through the Fediverse to each individual piece without it being reliant on that piece at all.
But see, I thought that this idea of Web 3 was that the apps run on the distributed blockchain or distributed thing itself.
I was about to say, is it on the blockchain? That's your answer. Blockchain.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I got it. It's just another word for. Okay. Thank you. I got it. This is a CNBC invention where everyone CNBC was tired and disillusioned from the blockchain. And now we're going to see. I can predict right now. We're going to have stock ticker symbols. Web3. No. Web3. Oh, yeah. Companies are going to change their name to say, and Web3.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, then Brian of London is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he tends to be correct because he's cynical about everything. So
right, so Brian of London, you're correct. No need to explain.
Joseph, are y'all... I didn't ask you this. Are y'all funded, like VC funded, or are y'all self funding? How are y'all doing that?
It's all bootstrap right now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great.
More boostograms.
Yep. So we got from Mere Mortals 1,123 sats, and I'm assuming this is Kyron. Could be one. Says I have a podcast. This is Kyron. I have a podcast called Renaissance in Spanglish. That I did for a year, but stopped due to time constraints. Do I still update it? No. But I feel that book reviews from an Aussie perspective in Spanish is still valuable. I think you're bang on that it's the advertising perspective that views them as less valuable. Are books in the public domain now no longer considered books? Okay, so I guess he's referring to, so-called, quote-unquote, stale podcast.
Dead feed.
It's a dead feed, man. It's dead. It's dead. Hasn't updated. It's dead. Can't advertise against it. It's no good.
Anonymous, 1,400 sats. And the message is, streaming sats greater than Spotify.
Ooh. Sat streamer. By the way, the new term for dead feed is, it should be something like evergreen.
Evergreen.
Yeah. How much? We have quite a number of evergreen feeds. Oh, really? No. That sounds expensive.
Perennial.
Perennial feeds. I like that. Okay, I'm writing it down.
John's BRT gave us 4,900 sats, and he says the pod sage is killing it. Yes, I am, brother. Sir Pete gave us a sack of ducks, 22,222 sats. And he says, this is a medium-sized sack of ducks. Do these emojis work? Yes, they do. Yes, Sir Pete, I see them.
They do.
What we got here? Oh, Chad Farrow. Chad Farrow of the instant retweet. Sats, 333 sats. He says, streaming at 65 sats per minute for episode 65. Go podcast. Ooh, I like that.
Yes.
Go podcasting!
So it just goes up each episode.
What I like about Chad is... he's my canary in the coal mine. I know everything's working because Chad has boosted it. It's like Chad has retweeted it. Chad has commented on it. Chad has interacted with it. Whatever it is, Chad has done it. And it's for everything that comes out. Like, boom, okay. I don't have to see this. No complaints. It works for Chad.
He's like the pingdom of...
yes. Yeah.
Oscar Mary, sack of sevens. 7,777 sats, and he says, boost the dip.
Boost the dip. And by the way, they got some nice swag over there at the fountain shop. Get a boost hoodie.
Yeah, I'm eyeballing that mug.
No, I got a mug for Tina, and I picked up another beautiful item. I picked up the boost hoodie. Can't wait to walk around Hill Country with that on. People like, hey, son. What's this boost? What's this boost you're talking about?
You're going to be like a double-sized version of Jack Mahler's.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. And then I need a t-shirt with pew pew on. That's the next t-shirt I need.
No agenda shop needs to do that. Brian of London sent us 1,000 sats.
Nice.
And he says, need to remind you about my $10 per week repeating value for value as Hive dollars. Go podcasting.
There you go. We got some Hive bucks.
Hive bucks. Thank you, Mr. Brian.
Go podcasting!
Yep. All right, we got some monthlies here. Alex Gates, the Podcasting 2.0 consultant, gave us $25.
Thank you, Alex.
Jeremy Cavanaugh, $10. Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. Chris Cowan, $5. Damon Kasajak, $15. Sjoren Mueller, $10. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. Thank you, Paul. Derek Visker, longtime supporter, $21. Lauren Ball, donation dropped off, like the PayPal dropped it, and then he redid it for more money. So thank you, Lauren. I appreciate that.
Cool.
David Norman, he of the
Hypercatcher fan.
You know, I love that Hypercatcher. Like David, he's evidently busy with life and kids and stuff. But Hypercatcher just
keeps on chugging,
just keeps on ticking.
It's like a diesel engine. It's a diesel engine of my my entire world right now.
Yeah, the chapters just keep on going.
Dreb and I look at it from time to time, say, "How's the diesel engine running? Still running, boss? Okay, you need to lube that thing up a little bit." Nah, David's on it. So it's
check lubed. The oil.
Check the oil. It's working.
Jeremy Gertis gave us $5. My buddy Timothy Hudgens saw him this past week. Gave us $25. David Woodfine gave us $3. Enigma Labs gave us $20. And Thomas Sullivan Jr., my favorite name, gave us $5. That's it. That's our beautiful group.
And now, as the French say, it is time for Le Boost.
Well, thank you all very much for supporting Podcasting 2.0, the podcast, the board meeting, but really the project. And I love how everyone everyone who's working on it puts into it too. It's fantastic. We continue to move forward. And since we have you guys here in the boardroom, is there anything we can do for you, for the Podcast Guru crew?
So Joseph had to bail, so it's just me now. But I mean, I don't think I could ask you guys to do anything more. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, I was thinking, man, I'm going to have to build my own search engine eventually, and just dreading how much effort that was. You know, it's what you guys have provided for free is amazing. And I just hope you keep doing it as long as you're able.
Oh, thanks, Jason. That means a lot.
None of it's for free. None of it's for free. But you're doing it right. You're bringing back enormous value by contributing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. All the donations we just read. I mean, that's what makes it possible to provide that stuff to you, to the app developers, for free. And it is a huge pain in the butt. I don't think people understand how big of it's. You know, it's not really the software that goes into the aggregation and all that jazz. It's the server management and all of the sysadmin crap that goes along with it. I mean, you got to back it up. You got to have we have 20 servers running to do all this stuff. And so, I mean, and that was really what we started to do at the beginning, was what the whole point was to make it to where Podcast Guru didn't have to run 20 servers, because then, I mean, you just don't have time to do any development when you're working on that stuff all the time.
No, it's an amazing amount of work. And I recognize that. Because like I said, I just did some rough math on, you know, how much it would cost me to aggregate all these feeds. And it's just not something I would want to bite off.
Yeah. Well, what are you thinking for the near term future? Do you think you'll, you know, what's on your roadmap as far as if you're willing to divulge? I mean, what are you working on now?
We want to continue working on the Podcasting 2.0 features. We're also doing some stuff with the Podchaser guys, trying to get podcast and episode reviews in there. Definitely want to look into the comments as well. But you know, that sounds like a rabbit hole, but thankfully some going in front of that. So I don't, like I said, when I started working on this app, I thought it was going to be just a quick thing and I'd be done. And it's never that way. There's always something else I want to implement. I would love to do IPFS media. Not even going through a gateway. Like if I can figure out how to get lib to P2P in the app and like read that stuff directly, it would be pretty awesome.
Well, brother, when you do that, you can consider me your guinea pig. I will definitely publish IPFS. I'm very excited to see if we can make that work finally.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely need some people to help us test that.
Stress test for sure. All right, podcastguru.io is where you can find the app. Jason, and I know Joseph had to hop off, but thank you so much for joining us in the boardroom. And thank you for everything you've done, man. Have a great holiday season. Merry Christmas, etc.
You too, guys. It was really, really fun.
Mr. Dave?
Yep.
Anything?
No, I'm... I'm heading back to work, but then I've got to, I think at some point tonight, I'm going to try to get those bug fixes in, or not, but those changes made for Helipad and get that packed back up. And other than that, I've just got a couple of other things I'm going to look at this weekend, but I'm good.
Excellent. Well, I'll do the Tascam update on next board meeting, which will be fun because there's some real nerdiness that I can talk about. So it's going to be, we'll see if something comes out of that. I may even have more information by then.
Oh, well, we've got to, you know, this is Christmas week. So we've got a special episode for next week. James Critlin's going to be joining us.
I know. I know.
The year in review.
And he'll be wearing the Santa bikini, I hear. Is All right, everybody. That's it for the board meeting. Podcasting 2.0. We'll be back here next week. Join us then. Take care, everybody.
Listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Boost, boost, boost.
Go podcasting!